Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 36, And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now our text tells us something about the woman of the text that ought to be true of all of us. People have a tendency at times to become very self-sufficient, especially is this true when they are prosperous materially. They get the feeling that they have, as it were, the world on a string. They may realize they have some needs, but they are confident that whatever they need, they can provide for themselves. Now, this self-sufficiency grows to the point where one is so independent that he thinks he needs nobody for anything. But, friend, regardless of how self-sufficient a person can become in many matters, none will ever outgrow the need that this woman of our text realized. She knew she needed Christ. And there's not a one of us who does not need him also. It is somewhat bewildering that this primary theme of the Bible is denied by so many. Our need for Christ surpasses our need for anything and everything else in life. Although many do not believe this, it's still nonetheless true. We can include man's need for food and shelter, and clothing, and medicine, whatever. These are important needs in the physical realm without which we could not survive. But there are needs more important than physical needs. We have spiritual needs, and because these needs are not tangible and therefore are not as readily recognized as the physical ones, some have mistakenly relegated them to a secondary and unimportant position. May I send to you the warning from God so that we will not make that mistake, for if we do, the time will come when we will see that God did not warn us needlessly. But then it will be too late for us to do anything about it. Why is our need for Christ so great? Friend, it is because Christ supplies us our spiritual needs. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Man's greatest need is the forgiveness of sins, the salvation of the soul. Man's spiritual condition is that he is in sin, with only doom and damnation awaiting him. Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 23, All have sinned. In Romans 6:17, he said, Ye were the servants of sin. All of us can say, along with Achan, with David, with the Israelites, and others, we have sinned. Even Christians can say, we have sinned. We dare not deny that we have sinned. 1 John 1, 8-10 so teaches. Man is spiritually diseased. His greatest need is the cure from that malady. And without Christ, man remains lost. He cannot find his way back to God by himself. Man cannot direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10:23. Paul spoke of the Christian's plight before he became a Christian by describing him as being alienated from God, separate from Christ, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, Ephesians 2 and verse 12. Now this is the condition of all who have not yet come to the Savior. So we would emphasize, we need Christ. Now the woman who came to the Pharisee's house and anointed the feet of Jesus, she realized her need of him, and she did not allow her pride to prevent her from showing honor to him. She had no self-righteousness to blind her from her seeing her spiritual condition. You know, it may make one angry to be informed that he's lost outside of Christ and that he stands condemned, but is it not better to know that you are lost and can do something about it than to be allowed to just go through life and finish life and then face God unprepared? This woman was honest with herself. She knew she needed Christ. How many of us will admit the same thing? Or you may be inclined to defend yourself against the charge of sin, but you keep in mind who made it. God made that charge against you. You may dislike the preacher for bringing this to your attention, but you keep in mind he's only preaching God's message to you. Would a preacher be honest to his commitment if he did not encourage people to be honest with themselves and see their need of Christ? Your need of Christ is so great because you're lost outside of Christ, and Christ is the only Savior. In Luke 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Again, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul added, "Of whom I am chief," 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. It is by and through Christ that we are brought to God. Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are brought nigh by the blood of Christ." Because we separate ourselves from God by our sins, Isaiah 59:1-2, and because we cannot save ourselves by ourselves, Ephesians 2:8-9, we need Christ. He is the only Savior man has, John 14 and verse 6, Acts 4 and verse 12. And Paul wrote, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him," Romans 5, 8 and 9. Friend, you need Christ because he does for you what no one else can do. He does for you what you cannot possibly do for yourself. He gives salvation. And regardless of how righteous you may be or think yourself to be, from this moment forward, all of your goodness will not erase one sin that you've committed. Now, this does not mean being good and doing good are without value. Those who follow Christ are expected to be a people who are zealous of good works, Titus 2 and verse 14. But it is to emphasize the insufficiency of our goodness to save us. There have been those who have concluded that they are morally good, not doing many of the evils that some practice, and so they've decided they have no need of the Savior. But this is a mistaken notion of a deceived people. Cornelius was a good person. Lydia was a good person. The Ethiopian, he was a good person. There were others that were good people, but they were lost until they came to Christ to be saved. If you believe what Scripture teaches, you must believe you are lost without Christ. Surely you want to be saved and have heaven as your eternal home. But heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and not all will inhabit heaven. No sin is going to be allowed in heaven, friend. The very presence of God demands that our sins be removed through forgiveness if we see God in all of his glory. Therefore, we must come to Christ and be forgiven according to the terms of the gospel. Oh, there are many who've been like the woman. They've seen their sinfulness. They've desired salvation. They've realized their inability to save themselves. And they've come to Christ. They are now among the redeemed. But have you seen this same need as it applies to you? And how does one come to Christ? Why, Christ is the author of salvation, but he's the author of salvation to them that obey him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. We must learn what he commands, and then conform to whatever he directs. A study of the conversions as found in the book of Acts is most profitable. When we read what the apostles taught and what people did to be saved, we learn that that is exactly what Jesus said was to be proclaimed. We must believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, John 8:24. We're commanded to repent of our sins, Luke 13:3. We must confess our faith in Christ, Acts 8 and verse 37, and Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. We're to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. And when we're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. We're baptized to be saved, Mark 16:16. And those in New Testament times who heard these things and who did these things were added to His church, Acts 2 and verse 47. And so it shall be with all those who will do as He commanded, even today, when we will do as people did back then. Dear listening friend, only by coming to Christ will you ever fill the greatest need that you have. Will you come to Him? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.